Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Let's see. Today on the show, more bad news. It's been a tough week, Jeffrey. We had Fishman had to tap out yesterday. And today, I can only assume that John Martin's on his deathbed. This is 3 days in a row.
This is tough sledding for him.
This is tough sledding for John. He evidently can't talk. Some of you would applaud that turn of events, but it's not good for this radio show. And so I lament that we're not going to have John Martin in the next segment. We will have Chris Harrington, though, straight up at 10 o'clock. Grizzlies play the Spurs tonight, Jeffrey. Are you to the point that these games, because they're against Western Conference teams, because they're against good teams, because the top three is back, because this is all seems like a measuring stick moment, are they taking on added urgency for you? And honestly, because you're coming off a loss, like these next two against San Antonio, I'll offer you a split right now. You taking it?
I think you have to, right? On the road?
Of course you're taking it, yeah. Right? Well, it's against a 500 team.
Yeah.
Team that you're ostensibly better than. So.
I think you have to take it. I don't think we're at the point where you can just sit there and go, they should win every game on the road.
What will be the conversation if they lose tonight?
They better be saving it up for national TV on Friday.
I guess. Anyway, we'll talk to Chris about that. Good news, by the way, GG Jackson's going to be playing tonight for the Hustle as he makes his way back. Interesting. Like, it feels like all the reinforcements, the more the merrier, right? Like, the more the merrier. Marcus Smart, last I checked, was week to week. Vince, last I checked, was by the end of the month. That was the last thing that Taylor Jenkins said. Gigi will be playing tonight. Gigi's in an interesting spot, though. Even coming into this year, we would say about Gigi, okay, he was great in garbage time, extended garbage time last year. What's he going to be like in a meaningful role in limited minutes when everything matters, right?
Yeah, and he doesn't get all the shots.
Yeah, and he doesn't get all the shots. So now... then he comes in, and Jalen Wells has surpassed him. It's just true. Like, is cemented in the rotation right now, and Jake LaRavia is cemented in the rotation right now. Now, because Marcus is out, because Vince is out, I'm going to assume he's going to get minutes when he starts to play again, and then it will, as they said, it'll be up to him, I guess, right?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's the story of his career.
Yeah.
Up to him.
Yeah. Well, it's for everyone's career. It's ultimately up to them what they get with the minutes they're given. Anyway, Grizz Spurs tonight. Spurs are, as I said, they're 500. They are 10th. They would be in the play-in right now. Were the season to end today, and I'd lament that if it did because I want to watch the rest of the season, but if the season were to end today, they would be in the play-in, the last play-in spot. Half game up on the Suns and Golden State. There's still 12 teams. In their hammer and tong for 10 spots. So it's going to be, it's what Chris said yesterday. It feels like Oklahoma City's running away with this. And after that, you know, whatever. It's a bit of a mess. A lot of competitive teams. Obviously the Spurs playing very well. So there you go.
At this point, I think it's safe to say there's going to be two teams think they're competitive that are not even going to be in the play-in.
Two teams that expected to be playoff teams will not even be in the play-in.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, it would be the Suns and the Warriors.
Right.
Kevin Durant and Steph Curry.
Correct.
Are on the outside looking in. That's what we're dealing
with.
Do hate that for them.
God.
Do hate that for them. Anyway, we'll talk
to
Chris.
It's too bad.
We'll talk to Chris about that. We have so much. Oh, and then Sam Hardiman's going to join us. Not a lot of sports shows in America, and this is really to their discredit. A lot of sports shows in America spend time talking about the legislative session in the State House, but we do. And what's in it for Memphis, and there's other stuff too. We got Mata to talk about. Sam was out there in the weather last week. Being a trooper, filing reports from the front lines. As weather events go, that one will not be remembered, right? That was nothing. And did anything bad happen? Like that we didn't like there was nothing. Was anything?
No,
people didn't lose power. We didn't have a boil water order.
We got it
through it like a real city.
Yeah, I didn't want to do the move where it's like I wasn't super informed, but I did want to be like, shout out MLG and W. I guess
shout out to everybody.
Because like I didn't feel like we dealt with the mass power outages.
No,
like I know some people like I think on Thursday lost some power.
Pretty
but,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll talk to Sam too. Chris Harrington, Sam Hardiman in the second hour. First hour, it's all us. I'll start with my update from the front lines. I was at the school board meeting last night, and that is something else, man. For me, I just sort of parachute in there as someone who doesn't know what the hell they're talking about, particularly Laura Testino, who writes for the Daily Memphian, does such a tremendous job of covering it. And she is my Sherpa sort of over there, sort of pointing me in the right direction. But they started by handing out rules of conduct. The rules of conduct were available for this board meeting. This includes, but it is not limited to, and these are good rules to live by. This behavior will not be tolerated. Yelling and screaming. I think yelling and screaming seems bad, right? Don't you think at a board meeting? Excessive profanity or slander.
So we get mild to moderate.
You got to make room for some profanity and just a little slander.
All right.
But excessive profanity or slander, we're going to draw the line there. Specific threats that the speaker and their supporters can carry out. So they're generalized threats or threats that seem impractical, evidently okay, but specific threats that the speaker and their supporters can carry out.
Really like George Washington's rules of civility here.
Drawing the line at that one. Shouting or booing from the audience so someone cannot address the governing board. Refusing to give up the microphone, leaving the podium so others can speak, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that set the stage. There was a line out, an hour before the meeting began. It was the strangest meeting because it began with Marie Fagans, who they're trying to fire. She's the superintendent. It began with her offering her statement, okay? And then it ended with another board member. This was the end of the meeting, offering an alternate resolution. The resolution back in December was to fire Fagans, and so a board member offered an alternative resolution that would set them on a path towards, let's be honest, marriage counseling, right? That's what it was sort of at the end. But in between this, there was a working meeting where they applauded the winner of the Christmas card contest. Mace, which won the state championship in football, the football team came up and it selfies and pictures and whatever else. Oh, someone's happy birthday. So all these people who were engaged in a food fight moments before and moments after are all now singing happy birthday. It was wild. And then there were students outside the building, outside the window, chanting Fagans, 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 and let her cook. And whatever else. So it was wild. Fagans gave her statement, and it was, I'll say this. None of this seems designed towards a future in which they work together. She comes out blazing, just blazing. She, by the way, introduces her daddy, right? Her father, her dad. Okay. Her father came to support her. But like, she's all dressed in white. She's incredibly charismatic. She's just running PR circles around the board. Right, just
I don't know if that's that difficult, but
it's not
continue.
Difficult.
Yeah.
But she is really good at it, and they are really bad at it. Right, and that's so she just blasts away. Like it doesn't seem none of this seems conducive to a fruitful working collaborative working future. I'll say that. So she does that. Then we stop and we do the happy birthday and whatever else, and then there is this alternate resolution to bring down the temperature. And actually, it seemed to me. It's a reasonable way out, right? This is Amber Hewitt Garcia offers this, it seems like a reasonable way out. Like we're stuck in this place. The whole city seems to love Marie Fagans. The board seems to, at least five of them, hate Marie Fagans. So maybe the way to do this is do what you would with almost any other employee. You put them on a performance improvement plan, right, Jeffrey?
Ah, the old PIP.
The old PIP. Put them on a PIP and then document the ways they fail. And then you go through this stuff. And then at the end of it, then you get to where you're going to go anyway. Probably that's how it works in America. I mean, let's be honest. I used to be a labor and unemployment lawyer. And people would ask us all the time, how do you fire this person? We want to fire this person. And when we say, well, and they wouldn't say, we think we might at the end of a process. We want to fire this person.
Correct.
And then you say, okay,
how do we do this without getting sued?
How do we do this? Right. And so then you go through the steps and you have to live with it and tolerate it and give them a chance to whatever. That's just generally how it works these days. And that's sort of, speaking loosely, that is what Amber Hewitt Garcia was proposing, some pathway forward to bring down the temperature. That was immediately met with Natalie McKinney, another board member, coming out with her own statement with a whole litany of ways that Dr. Fagans is a disaster, right? That's what she laid out. And I have to say, if you listened to and if you read that statement and took it seriously and looked at the allegations in that statement, because they're pretty serious. She says that Fagans was responsible for dismantling critical student support systems. She said that her delays in approving student contracts left principals and teachers without the resources to effectively deliver instruction. She said that Fagans left priority schools without essential school tools to track student progress effectively, and on and on and on. It went on and on and on. And you're like, oh, man, she must be awful. Like, if you read this stuff, she must be awful. Here's the problem. None of it seemed to be at all related to the reasons they gave back in December for firing her.
Right.
Right? It's like you charge someone with something and those surgeries, so then you drum up something else. I actually think McKinney's statement may be outlining real problems, real issues with Dr. Fagan's performance. I think I have heard enough to believe that although she is being martyred across the city, she may not be great at her job. But the problem is that when you in December offer her, these are the reasons we're going to fire her, and then in January you say, no, these are the reasons. It feels like you're going, making it up as you're going along.
Well, and to even go back to your point, I believe when you said you went to the original hearing, what they had laid out on paper.
Exactly.
Yeah, like
the things that they said in the resolution were different than the things they were saying. It feels like they're just drumming up stuff. And so what I would say is this, and I can't really weigh in, and most of us can't if we're being honest. Do you really out there listening to me know if Dr. Fagans is good? Even her supporters yesterday, I say, why is she good? And they say, well, she's just out there. She cares. She's passionate. Someone said test scores. Well, she's only been here 7. There are no test scores. She has no test scores yet. She's not responsible for any increase in tests. I think most of us, really, if we're being honest about it, it's hard to weigh in on whether she's good at being. Honestly, just like it's hard to weigh in on whether an AD is good at their job.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Coaches, we could see what Tubby was good or
win loss record,
good
yeah.
or whatever. There's a win loss record. Dr. Vegas doesn't have a win loss record. So there may be a case for not proceeding with Dr. Fagans as superintendent. I'm not ruling that out. I'm not. But the board is doing one piss-poor job of making it. Like, I asked in the column that I wrote today, you can read over the Daily Memphian, like, can you ever seen a Memphian become this popular this quickly? Like, John Calipari had to go through years before he got
there. I mean,
Ja was popular.
Yeah.
You know, Ja poor pre-gun. Right? He's still more popular than Murray Fagan,
let's
be clear. Putting aside an athlete, but including coaches, putting aside someone who dunks a ball for a living, what Memphian has become this popular this fast? Gloria is pretty popular, but it was a longer trajectory for her.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a career kind of. I mean, I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Even John Calipari had the for sale signs on his lawn.
Yeah.
And he had the miserables. He had the miserables who didn't like him. That was me.
I've heard they moved to Fayetteville now.
Oh, my God. The miserable. He should have for sale signs on his lawn. We'll get to that in a moment. Anyway, my prediction, the next week they're going to take up whether to fire her. It's very clear they still have the 5 votes to fire her. I did talk to Willie Harrington, who came to the event last night. And he was actually introduced by Dr. Fagans. He said she introduced her father, thanked her father for coming, and thanked Willie Harrington for coming. And so I afterwards went and found Willie Harrington and, of course, former mayor, former school superintendent. And I asked, you know, was he here in support of Dr. Fagans? And I thought he was just really good. And this is what he said. Let me tell you what I'm in support of. As you know, I gave 30 years of my life to the school system. I care about it. I'm a part of it. It's a chaotic situation. I want decisions to be made in the best interest of the kids. There's been talk that the state might take over an urban school district. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but it would be dangerous and unwise. It's my view that there should be an orderly, professional process in order to terminate a school superintendent. I'm not taking sides. I care about the well-being of the children and the school district, and there is a more professional way to address these matters than what I'm seeing here. To read more about it, again, Laura Testino writes, covers it tremendously in the Daily Memphian. I would urge you to read her stuff. So, Jeffrey, onward to the world of sports. You mentioned the Fayetteville stuff. We'll get to that in a moment. But I wanted to start, talk a little bit about the Grizzlies. We'll talk more about the Grizzlies with Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. But I wanted to start with this little food fight that's breaking out. Speaking of food fights that's breaking out in the AAC among the football coaches. Trent Dilfer and your old radio colleague, Mark Giannato, has written a piece about this. Trent Dilfer, the coach at UAB, was on, I think he was on Jocks. Was he on Jocks? He was on Jocks. And this is what he had to say.
Big part of this. In our conference, again, not going to use schools, we have two teams that will go to our roster and sign double or triple what these guys can make on our roster and make them backups on their roster so that we can't have them.
Oh, dastardly. Dastardly. But he didn't mention... He didn't mention names. He didn't mention names. Well, happily, there are others who are
willing. There was a coach that did.
There was a coach who did. John Summerall is the coach at Tulane. Jocks tweeted out this quote from Trent Dilfer.
The clip, yeah.
The clip. John Summerall retweeted it and tagged, you know, we're looking for two schools, two coaches. He tagged Alex Golish, coach at South Florida, and Ryan Silverfield.
And then I believe he did the crying laughing emoji as well.
And he did the little crying laughing emoji and the two little eyeballs thing. So John Summerall seems to be naming names.
Yeah, I like this move from Summerall because this is the classic, I'm going to attack everyone. Like, best offense is, their best defense is good offense.
Well, so first of all, let's all take a moment to celebrate. It is nice to be one of the haves. Can we agree? It is nice if you've, listen, in the world, I wish the world did not consist of haves and have-nots, but I think we can all agree. If it does, and because it does, better to be one of the haves.
The problem, though, is
Memphis isn't used to being a have.
Well, the problem is you are a have in your own little, like,
okay, fine,
neighborhood.
All right, let me have my little celebration.
But you still haven't won titles.
We do have the... Oh, no, that's sad. No,
this is why.
Sad.
This is why when Silverfield and all the Silverfield defenders, like, I don't get it. I don't get it. This is why. It is not the same job that it once was. It is a very, very good job.
Evidently, according to Trent Dilfer, he can sign dudes to be backups to keep them from the opposition.
Triple their salary.
But sadly can't beat the opposition.
Correct.
Or consistently enough to actually go to a conference title
game. Play for it.
I wasn't going there with this. I wasn't going. You're being a negative Nelly. I was going to the celebration of being a half. What, by the way, let's start with this part. What do you make of Trent Dilfer? Sour?
Yeah, I mean,
bitter,
that
petty.
It's the same thing, though.
Sound like Ryan sounded 3 years, 4 years ago before happened.
Jeff Traylor before the UTSA game.
Yeah,
like this is
complaining about your circle. Listen, don't take the job if you don't want the job. Every job in every line of work comes with constraints. Listen, once upon a time I covered the Olympics. I could complain that at the Daily Memphian, I don't get to cover the Olympics anymore. It's kind of sad for me. It's actually the one thing of the stuff that I used to cover once upon a time, back when newspapers had money, I would cover the Olympics. But that's not the job at the Daily Memphian. If I want a different job, I should go get a different job.
Right.
I have this job. Love this job. But he took the job as the UAB football coach, knowing it was not the highest payroll in the conference. Now that he's getting his ass kicked, he's finding excuses.
Well, also,
poor form.
I guess this would be the difference with your analogy. If you really had the desire to go and cover the Olympics, it's not like you could just like march into the Daily Memphian and be like, I'm covering it, by damn. Like,
no, whereas he could. He can make his own. He can change his own reality.
Correct.
Because part of being you're exactly right. Part of being a football coach these days is generating the enthusiasm to raise the money.
And then on top of that, you know what else you could do? Don't suck.
That would also help. Let me ask you this. Do you believe, I also fundamentally, so A, he's a whiner. B, he has it in his power to change that. That's part of the job. Indeed, you would have thought actually it would have been one of the good things about hiring Trent Dilfer in the first place. He kind of had a big name. You would have thought he would have been able to create some momentum and some financial support.
Well, and he was coming right? from a high school that had a lot of talent, and the thought was like, okay, he can bring some of the talent with him.
So the other thing is, by the way, in terms of the merits of his charges, I don't believe that, by the way. I don't believe that Ryan Silverfield and Alex Golish sign players for more money knowing they won't play for them just to keep them from other teams. I think when they sign them, they might be signing them for competition or whatever.
Depth.
They want their team to be better. They're not literally saying, I don't like this player. He's never going to get on the field for me. I'm just going, like Memphis may have money. They don't have that much money that they can just squander money on players that they know won't play. I literally don't believe the charge. I do believe that maybe at UAB that person would be a sure starter, whereas at Memphis they might be in the mix to start, you know, maybe in the mix or maybe primarily depth or maybe part of a wave of defensive linemen or whatever else. But Ryan Silverfield is not signing people who he knows will not play just to keep them from UAB.
Yeah, I fundamentally agree with you. This is not a Bear Bryant situation of no scholarship limits, and so
right.
he's just so offering.
Just, right. Just, so then, we'll get to your point. The negative twist on this in a moment. What do you make of John Sumrall? Because before I knew who he was talking about, I just saw you mention two coaches. I actually wondered if Memphis was there, right? But the other school that supposedly has a lot of NIL money is, in fact, Tulane and John Sumrall.
Yeah, I think this is the point the finger at somebody else so this finger doesn't get pointed at you.
So you would literally think he was like, he's the obvious one.
And by the way,
one.
I've not heard USF being a big spender.
So he's literally worried that people are going to think it's Memphis and Tulane, and so he therefore tags two other people.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think he's worried that it's going to be Memphis and Tulane. I think he was just worried that Tulane
he knew
was
Tulane
gonna...
was going to be presumed Correct. To be one of the two.
Yes.
That's just delicious.
I mean.
All right. What do you think of all this, by the way? Just
January fodder.
January fodder. I do think, I mean, this is not how I was thinking about it, but I do take your point. This is further acknowledgement, as we saw from the UTSA coach, as we've now seen from, like, they know what they're, it is true, when you are recruiting in the AAC, you have a pretty good sense of who's outspending you, you know?
Yes.
In any conference.
Because you're fishing in the same waters.
You're fishing in the same waters, and so you're going after the safety, and everyone's saying, let's be honest, this is what the representatives are saying. They're saying Memphis is offering $50,000, you know, can you match that? And so they know. And what it does underline is that the really positive part of this is what it underlines is that at least for now, as long as the FedEx money holds out and maybe beyond, you never know, For now, Memphis has greater resources than almost anyone in the conference. The bad part of it is Memphis has not been able to leverage those resources, not to win a conference title or not even to get to a conference title game.
Yes.
So that's how you can splice it either way. We have so much more to get to. There's a new mock draft out. Ole Miss, massive win yesterday. We'll talk about what's happening at Arkansas. We'll do all of that in the next segment. You know what? It's good John isn't here. We got too much to talk about. I miss John. One of my favorite segments every week. Hope he gets well. We will do that next. And then we will be joined straight up at 10 o'clock by Chris Harrington, then Sam Hardiman. It is a busy Wednesday, 92.9 FM ESPN. Sale is ongoing, semi-annual sale. This is a good one. It's the fall and winter merchandise. But honestly, you go through the store, savings up to 50% off. That's right. Men's, women's, outerwear, tailored merchandise. You walk through there. And now, by the way, like sometimes at the end of the sales, it gets a little, there's not as much stuff of it. Now, get in there this weekend or this week. We got cold weather still, plenty of cold weather. It's going to be chilling, getting cold again toward the end of this week into next week. And it'll warm your heart to go into Oak Hall. It'll cheer you up and get something for yourself. This is the best savings of the year over at Oak Hall. Okay, Jeffrey, we have a whole bunch of other things to get to, including, we'll start with college hoops.
All right.
And this relates to Memphis as well. Ole Miss with a massive win yesterday go into Tuscaloosa. And the astonishing thing about this, the final was 74-64. The astonishing part was the 64.
Yeah.
Holy
absolutely.
Smokes. Holding Alabama.
I think it was like 24 points in the second half.
They just guard their asses off.
Yes.
First road win ever over a top five team. They forced 21 turnovers. And it's not like Ole Miss, they upset the Alabama. They just had one of those nights. No, they didn't have one of those nights. They shot 38% from the field.
No.
They were 6 of 21 from 3. Malik Dia was really good, 23-19, tremendous. But massive win for Ole Miss, and also does fine things for Memphis. In fact, you look around last night, you see Ole Miss gets the win over Alabama. You see Missouri gets the win over Florida. That moves the Missouri game. That is now, who knows if it'll stay this way, that is a quad one win. UTSA has moved up to a quad three. So you have lots of
That's so sad that moved up.
I know. Lots of Memphis opponents are doing good stuff. Memphis moves up one spot.
Yeah, the key is Memphis's resume is holding up really nicely this year.
Right.
Whereas we got to this point last year, we started to realize like maybe the resume is not holding up as well.
And they have not stumbled, at least not yet, in conference.
Absolutely.
So good for Ole Miss. Mississippi State loses again, this time to Auburn without Jahni Broome. Auburn's good even without Jahni Broome.
Yes.
88-66. No shame in losing to Auburn, even without Jahni Broome. So that happened. But then, as you point out, things not going so well for John Calipari.
No.
Losing to LSU 78-74.
Arkansas was 7-0 when leading at the half last night, and they are now 7-1. Are you okay?
Winless in. So it's funny. Again, I've made this point before. I don't decide who I'm rooting for. I discover who I'm rooting for and rooting against, right? It is revealed to me, right? I sit down to watch a game.
You have an epiphany?
No, and it's, oh, hey, look at this.
Correct.
Like the other night, I was rooting for the Bucks.
Sure.
The Bucks against the Commanders. Why? I don't really know. I just, I think it was this. I'm happy for the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need them. They didn't need that win.
No, I think that's more.
You know what I mean?
This season already was a success.
I don't need too much too soon for y'all. Like, you know who needed that win? The Bucks. Baker Mayfield and the Bucks.
He's got his contract. He's fine.
That's fine. But I in terms of, like, I think that's why I just found myself. And know what I find myself doing this year? Not rooting against John Calipari. Like, if this were, it's weird. If this were John Calipari at Kentucky, I would be, as petty as it may be, I know, you're supposed to drop it. Bygones, you did great things. All that's true. And I don't spend any time worrying about John one way or another. But I did still get modest enjoyment out of John losing.
Yeah.
Now it's just kind of sad. Like, what the hell? Like, he's got all the talent in the world. I don't find myself actively rooting against them. In fact, I don't
know. Is there an Arkansas element? Is there?
Maybe it's because I like the people. I like Arkansas fans. I like Arkansas fans. Can you imagine, by the way, if this were your team over at Arkansas, the delirium, the happiness, and then you get this pile of crap?
Yeah.
You get everything bad about about Kentucky John Calipari?
I will say, last night's the first one that I really go, you got to win that game.
Awful.
Because LSU's not good. I get it. It's on the road to all this league, but the other three losses, they've lost to Florida, Ole Miss, and
two of them are at home. If you're with Arkansas with John Calipari and that talent, you should be beating Florida and Ole Miss at home.
They lost to Tennessee on the road, Ole Miss at home, Florida at home.
You should be beating Florida, Ole Miss at home. You should certainly be splitting at home.
Right, but my point is, they have lost to the top of the league.
They're not. Yes, but they're not going to make the tournament.
The back half of the schedule really lightens up.
It had better. What's weird, it's so much, it's like a, it feels like it could be one of these sprawling novels across generations about this scrappy guy who built this company from nothing, right, whatever, and then he turned into a everything he once hated.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like he's a billionaire who treats whatever. That's like
Citizen Kane.
John was at UMass. He was the scrappy guy, didn't have the most talent.
He had Marcus Camby.
Marcus Camby was great, but like that one.
It's not like UMass was a prestige job that recruited itself into something.
Sure. He whatever, and now it's just the opposite. Now it's like, bring me grapes and stuff, and yet his team sucks, and it looks badly coached.
Yeah, I think what has gotten him is what oftentimes gets a lot of
And this time he did what he was supposed to do. He brought in a mix of players from young guys and portal guys.
I think it's still...
But Jadell Davis has been terrible there.
He's still caught up in the, I'm going to coach him hard on defense. And the problem is now...
they gamble like crazy on defense, though.
Yes. And they do. But also what has really passed him by is that
the offense
has just gone...
ugly.
Yes. And he's never innovated on offense, really.
So that happened.
And it doesn't help that, like, Mark Pope is killing it right now at Kentucky.
Mark Pope is killing it. And by the way, in just the opposite fashion.
Yes.
Pretty good roster.
But not talent wise.
Is a wizard. Right. Pretty good roster. But, he's brilliant offensively and is killing it at Kentucky. A couple other things that happened last night. Have you watched the TGL Golf League? The Tiger Virtual Golf League. I don't even understand how it works. Tell me, they're in a studio.
Yeah, like a giant warehouse that's hollowed out.
And they're in front of a simulator, like Ben's simulator at Ready Golf. But it looks like they're in it.
This would be, it's not, like, they are both technically simulators. But this would be, like, to me, the difference of, like, flying a flight simulator on your computer versus having, like, going up into, like, the FedEx.
I haven't watched a minute of it. I've watched some highlights.
Yeah.
I was at the school board meeting last night. Doesn't it feel like they are on the course, in the course?
So they have three pallets. They have three pallets that they hit from. One is fairway grass, which they take it in on a crane. I think they said these things weigh 1,500 pounds.
Yeah.
So they bring in... fairway, rough, and then they have sand from Augusta. Or excuse me, there's only one other course in the world that has this sand, is how they market it.
Uh-huh.
And so then they are hitting into the simulator. But, I mean, this thing is a giant warehouse that's hollowed out. Like, they
you're
have
hitting into the simulator, but you feel like you're in the action.
Correct.
You're
not, so there's a green.
There's not a screen apart from them.
There's a green that appears to have hydraulics underneath it, so you can manipulate undulations and whatnot. And there are bunkers around it.
Okay. So, obviously, Tiger's team got smashed.
Correct.
Was it fun? Everyone said the fun part was seeing them cut up.
Yeah.
Yuck it up.
They're, like, you feel like you're watching in on them, like, playing a money match. Like, that's, do I think this is going to be wildly successful? Like, no, but at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, I didn't think esports would be as popular and as successful
well,
as it is.
It brings up this question about, are sports evolving? And how are they evolving? And what is going to work? So once upon a time, American sports was baseball, boxing,
horse racing,
NFL.
And even
NFL was smaller.
College football at that time was much smaller.
Yeah. College basketball was barely existent.
Yeah.
But whatever those were. They played in the original six played hockey, whatever else. But basically that was it. And then it morphed and it changed. And the NBA had a rise and the NFL took over and college football took over and whatever else.
And baseball had a strike.
And now it feels like there's a lot of new sports being launched. So we have this golf simulator thing. The other thing that's happening this week is Unrivaled is going to launch Friday. Do you know what Unrivaled is?
So this is
the 3-on-3 women's basketball league. The players, Caitlin Clark not involved, by the way, but most of the other superstars in the league are. They make more money. Their salaries are higher. They're north of $200,000 to play in this 3-on-3 basketball league. That will start on TNT Friday. There was a women's hockey game in Denver last week that drew 14,000 fans. We have obviously soccer, women's soccer. Like, is our appetite, of course, so much of this is because we have so many platforms on which to consume things. That's what has really changed here. Once upon a time, all you could do was go to a game or listen on the radio, right? Then you could go to the game, you could listen on the radio, or you could watch on network TV.
Right, and you can watch one game.
And you can watch one game. Now, there's a million different ways to watch games, and so therefore there's hunger and need for a million different forms of content.
So I'm not certain. The real question is there hunger? There's certainly platforms, and people need content, and so everyone's trying to build that, but like, my problem with the TGL...
I mean, you can turn on sports now and watch corgi racing, you know, whatever, just one ridiculous sport.
Correct.
Wiffle ball. I was watching the wiffle ball championship.
Have you gotten into a mega ball yet?
Whatever. So, what's going to catch? What's going to work?
I don't know if I'm the best judge because, I still can't understand a world where people want to watch other people play video games. Like, that will never, ever make sense to me, but it's clearly massively successful. So, when I sit here and I'm watching this, the TGL thing, I'm sitting there going like, who is this for? Like, because it just feels like...
It all just feels like diversion, right? It doesn't feel like serious. And here's the truth. I think this about the TNT. Because I was thinking about, if this exists, and the 3-on-3 basketball league is interesting because there's all kinds of money that's involved in it. And
that's true about TGL, too.
Right. And there's all kind of money. Like, so... The Unrivaled, the investors, and they're high profile too. Coco Gauff, Michael Phelps, Giannis, Mark Lazary, Juju Watkins have all chipped in. Sponsors include Sephora, Miller Lite, Under Armour, Samsung, State Farm, etc.
Yep.
So, would you watch 3-on-3 men's basketball? Here's the problem.
No.
In the end, no one's going to care.
Like, no,
you'll watch it for a minute, but you don't care who wins the 3-on-3 basketball tournament, and you wouldn't care who won it.
Didn't we see this in the Olympics? They added 3-on-3, and we're like, I don't care.
And there, at least you had a gold medal to care about. There, at least you had America to care about. We care about stuff we don't care about in the Olympics, but you're right. I don't think anyone's going to care. So they might watch it for a minute as a diversion, but I don't think people are going to care.
Yeah, you might tune in out of curiosity.
Whereas...
But, like, are you really going to ride or die? Be like...
Whereas a women's soccer league or a men's soccer. Like, sure. I think people, well, honestly, we saw that with 901 FC. It didn't work here for various reasons, but people did care if they won or lost.
Yes.
I think that is a huge part of what ultimately makes them something successful or not successful.
Yeah, I think it, in the end, it's going to be about the competition.
Oh, hell, I'm waiting to get to a break.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm looking. I saw something. No, I'm not. Okay, good. Yeah. In the end, it's about the competition.
Yes. Yeah. Like, why, what do I, like, they're saying, like, there's six teams, four will make the playoffs.
So, it's like, so in the end, when Tiger is cutting it up, that proves it's not, there's no real competition there.
No.
That's what we're watching for. Well, fact that he is yucking it up as their team is getting crushed totally cuts the legs off of any actual momentum it will have beyond,
I just feel like
beyond a little happy diversion.
It's like we were getting a peek of watching rich people play in front of rich people to make money.
We did some NFL news because we're going to have a busy second hour. We got Chris Harrington coming up. Then we got Sam Hardiman. I got to say, I admire Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin. Stay
facing the music for what?
He just says, save your time. I don't.
Yeah.
But
why would he leave the Pittsburgh Steelers? This is what never made sense.
The reason you would leave is the reason that anyone leaves a job when they feel like they've reached a point where they're going to get more grief than gratitude.
Right.
But so it's why. You see this with college coaches all the time.
Right.
It's
there's like a reset.
You've been here. You go to
but
reset.
But you always reset when they're going to get you. The Rooneys are not going to get him.
No, but wouldn't you be sick of just the... What is going to be better next year for the Steelers? By the way, what do you do with George Pickens? So the George Pickens...
Well, Jeff, a lot of room for growth.
George Pickens is a...
Tomlin had two unbelievable lives.
A difference-making wide receiver, right? A massive difference-making wide receiver. We see how talented he is. We see why he dropped in the draft, right? And so so Tomlin tells everyone you've got to report 2 hours before the game.
Yep.
And he reports an hour and a half before the game.
He could not confirm or deny. At game day, he's got a lot going on.
The reports were that he came. What do you do with that? What are you supposed to do with that as a leader? You say, screw you, cut him, trade him? Or do you say, I got to put up with that crap?
I think.
What do you do?
Did you see the rest of their receiver room? I think you got to put up with it.
Are you disparaging a certain Calvin Austin?
Calvin is.
He's what he is.
Correct.
Valuable.
Yeah, but when Pickens is not on the field, they can't move the ball.
That's the problem.
So
you just put up with it?
Yeah. By the way, do you know what Tomlin's salary is?
What is his salary?
$16 million a year.
Oh, my God.
So guess what he's going to keep doing?
Yeah, making
$16
million.
He's going to keep coaching the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I also like that he said, you know, no, I'm not going to give you optimism. I'm not going to tell you any optimism. Like, I'm not going to try to sell you on optimism. This is uncomfortable. We want to be better than we are. What's the answer there? Who's going to be the quarterback?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, I don't think they're going to do the Russell Wilson thing again. Like, I think...
You think Justin Fields?
I don't think you're doing the Fields thing again. I think they squeezed every ounce that they could out of Russell
Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers. That's what I kind of want to see. What gives? The Mike Tomlin?
Oh, no. I think Rodgers would give. I think Rodgers would give because he knows.
Would he have to go off of, would he still be able to do TV every week? On ESPN.
I mean, Tomlin. It's not
would
like
he
Tomlin
care about
keeps.
That?
It's not like Tomlin keeps personality.
No, no.
Like we just talked about George Pickens. I think though, if you're Rodgers, the appeal would be. I'm going from the most chaotic franchise to one of the most stable franchises, and this is like
one last shot
to rewrite that. But I guess the bigger problem that I see with the Steelers is I don't feel like it's just, man, they're just a quarterback away.
Well, and their defense is getting older. And that's what's that
well,
has.
And it's expensive.
It's old and expensive. So, all right, there is a new mock draft over at The Athletic. In this one, Cam Ward goes number one to the Titans.
All right.
That seems reasonable, don't you think?
I think it seems reasonable. I also do
I'm not sure I do it.
I have this question.
Uh-huh.
How much of Cam Ward now more regularly getting projected number one is out of boredom with Shador being number one for basically four months?
I would ask you this, honestly. I want to ask you this question.
All right.
Because you're now in for the Giants. You're in with them taking not a quarterback, so next year they can be in the Arch Manning sweepstakes.
Yeah, right? I want to see Manning in a Giants jersey again.
With all due respect, aren't the Titans, shouldn't the Titans be in on Arch Manning? The freaking Tennessee Titans, shouldn't they? Like, they can be really bad. They're bad. If you get a stinky quarterback on the Titans, shouldn't the Titans do what you're suggesting the Giants do, which is, no, we're not going to reach for a quarterback this year. We're going to
take best player.
We're going to take Abdul Carter or whoever else, right? Whatever. We're going to take whoever we think the best player is. We're going to suck next year. And we're going to be in the Arch Manning. We didn't get Peyton. We're going to have Arch, baby. And he is going to lead us into our future. Shouldn't they be in the Arch Manning sweepstakes? Plus, by the way, they got a brand new GM, right?
They're going to have a new GM.
They will have a brand new GM. He didn't have to win this year. There's no pressure on him, the new GM, to win this year. There is pressure on the coach, but honestly, he's looking right now like a disposable coach. Have him stink for another year, and then
you
go get your quarterback.
And your GM can bring in his coach.
Right, and then he can bring in his coach.
The only thing I would say in response to that is I don't know what is Amy Adams Strum's financial situation, because they're going to have to pay some part of that new stadium. Like, can you afford to?
Not exactly drawing wildly now.
Yeah, but you got people committed.
If you are an out-of-town fan and you want to go see your team play, go to a Titans game.
Yeah, somebody said...
Plenty of tickets available.
Did they play the Rams this year? Somebody said, like they went for $10.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Anyway, so Cam Ward, one to the Titans. Abdul Carter, two to the Browns. A couple of nice defensive ends there, bookends on the Browns.
Well, are you drafting him so that you can trade Garrett?
No, I don't think so. Travis Hunter to your Giants.
Okay.
McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona. Yeah. To the Pats. Interesting. Not an offensive lineman for Drake May. They got him a wide receiver
instead. Yeah, you can buy offensive lineman.
Will Johnson, the Michigan corner, to the Jags. Shador falls to the Raiders. Mason Graham, the Michigan defensive tackle, to the Jets. John Walker to the Panthers. He's the edge rusher from Georgia. Malachi Starks, the safety from Georgia, goes to the Saints. And Josh Simmons, left tackle from Ohio State, goes to the Bears. Other interesting
picks. Not a lot of SEC guys.
Ashton Jeanty to the Broncos at 20. James Pierce to the Bucks at 19.
Wait, the Cowboys? Who did they have the Cowboys taken?
It wasn't Ashton Jeanty. And guess who the Giants pick in the second round? Second round mock drafts are meaningless, totally meaningless.
Jackson Dart.
So you can take comfort in that. Milroe. The only quarterbacks, though, in the first or second round are Cam, Shador, and then Milroe at the top of the second.
So I can buy that. I'm less certain where Milroe is going to go, but I think
who are QB 3, 4, and 5?
So is Ewers going to go pro, or is Ewers going to go pro and NIL?
Right.
In the portal.
Right.
So you'd have Ewers is out there. Jackson Dart. I mean, it's bad. This is part of like the calculus that I have.
What is Jackson? What's your level of belief in Jackson Dart? What is he as a pro?
I have Bo Nix whiffs, but I used to use that as a pejorative. Now I'm questioning everything
I
believe.
And weaknesses.
Very tough. Played a lot of football, generally makes sound decisions. I just don't know if he has like the pure arm that you need.
We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. That's coming up next. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies' G.G. Jackson's return to the G League. G.G. in the G League. That's tonight. And the Grizzlies take on Wemby in San Antonio. Talk to Chris Harrington coming up. Then Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian. It is Wednesday on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.